The title of my message today is Put on the Towel. As I had been preparing my own heart and reflecting on the passage I'm about to speak to you from, one or two things really popped out at me, and I saw this in a completely different way. As I begin, I want to ask you a question here. How many people here would like to be blessed? Okay, those of you that didn't raise your hand aren't really sure. Amen. Thanks, Joanna. I guess we would all say we want to be blessed. Now, whatever blessed means to you, we won't go into the definition, but when we hear that phrase and we ask ourselves, do you want to be blessed? Most of us would say, yes, I want to be blessed. Well, the passage we're about to walk through this morning, in it, Jesus promises a blessing. For those that would hear this message, that would act on it, that would receive it to your own heart, Jesus promises a blessing. So let's see, let's unfold this, let's walk through this, unpack it. In the book of John chapter 13, that passage of scripture opens this way. It says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Now, pause for just a moment. There's a couple things I want you to see here in this passage, and if I were to ask you to look through it real quick, there's a word that pops out a couple times. That would be the word knew. Jesus knew. Jesus knew. Two times in this short little passage, it says, Jesus knew something. The first thing it says that he knew, it says he knew that his hour had come to leave this world. And later on it says he knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Now, Jesus knowing something, is it a surprise to us that Jesus knows something? Okay, how many people that was a surprise? You didn't know that Jesus knew something. Jesus knows everything, does he not? So for the scriptures to tell us that Jesus knew something, it's almost redundant. It's superfluous, it would seem. Why do we have to be told that Jesus knew something when he knows everything? It seems a little unnecessary. But when we see that, we see God spelling that out for us in the scriptures, it should call us to attention. We should focus in on this thing. Since Jesus knows everything, what is it about this thing that the scriptures are pointing out to us that we should focus in on? What is it that God's trying to say to us in that moment? Well, one of the things that this passage of scripture points out to is it says that Jesus knew his time had come. Well, rewind from the very beginning of history, all the way to the beginning of the scriptures, all the way back to Genesis, the scriptures tell us, in Galatians chapter 4 is one of the places where it pulls it out for us. It gives us a little bit of a window into what was going on behind the scenes. Well, God, from the time that scripture was written, before the world began, had a plan. And Galatians chapter 4 tells us that when God saw that the stage had been completely set, and everything was in its place, and everyone was in the right frame of mind, like right before the curtains open. Anybody ever go to a theater? Anybody ever go to a play? Now you know that when those curtains open, that that's not the beginning of stuff, right? That something probably happened before those curtains opened, or else there would be nothing to look down upon. Well, Galatians chapter 4 tells us, and it basically says, in the fullness of time. That means a whole bunch of stuff. For thousands of years, God had been working on stuff, and the fullness of time kind of means the ripeness of time, when in God's mind, everything that he'd been working, everything he'd been putting in place behind the scenes, the set had been readied. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. How many people know this sounds familiar? You've heard this before? In fact, it should be somewhat fresh because we just walked through this stuff when we went through the Advent season. The New Living Translation reads this way, that he was sent to buy freedom for us so that we could be adopted as his very own children. So Jesus knew that this moment, this time, this particular night, when dinner table had been set, in Jesus' mind, this was the moment that all of time have been marching towards. Now, that's a pretty important thing, don't you think? I mean, everything God had been working and planning behind the scenes for thousands of years, even before the world spun around the universe, was now focused on this moment. So when Jesus says he knows that his time had come, he's speaking about this moment, the fullness of the fullness. This speaks about when Jesus was sent to the earth, but we know that that's just the entry. Jesus, when the moment his foot stepped on the ground, he was walking towards Calvary. And the purpose for that wasn't even just to die. The purpose of Calvary was so that he might create the opportunity for all of us to experience the salvation that God intended, and that we had the privilege of entering into the family of God. So the first thing that we see here, Jesus understands the timeline of God. And he understands what this moment, this night, this dinner meant in the timeline and in the plan of God. It also tells us that he had loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. So Jesus came, yes, he came to die, yes, he came to go to a cross, all that stuff. But the reality is, if we were to back up and find out what is this all about, the reality is that in Christ Jesus, the love of God is made manifest. Yes, salvation was purchased, it was done through the cross, through Jesus' birth, but the reality was God was showing his heart to us, and Jesus did it pretty well. So as we come to this passage in Scripture, two things are in the mind of Jesus. Number one is this is an important moment. And number two is that he completed the mission. Everything that God had asked him to do, everything the Father had asked him to do, this was it. This is like the period about to be put on the end of the final chapter. And this is the things that Jesus is dwelling on when he begins to walk through this living object lesson he's about to walk through. So knowing that this is it, knowing that all of history, even prehistory, was pointing to this moment in time, you think it was pretty important in Jesus' mind to wrap it all up, bring it all to a focus? It sure enough was. Any one of us knows that if a person is aware that they're about to die, the last few words, the last opportunities they have to interact with family or friends or with people are probably pretty important. And Jesus, knowing that who he was, knowing he had come for the Father, knowing that everything was going to get him, knowing his own position, and also knowing that the moment that he is about to walk into was the focus of all of history, with that in mind, Jesus steps forward, and he does something very unusual. Chapter 13, verse 4 and 5 says, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. Just pause on that for a moment. I want you to get a picture in your mind about what it might have looked like in that room that night. Jesus is intense. He's focused on the fact he's about to die. He recognizes that the mission that he had just been living through for years and years, that his participation in that day by day, feeding and ministering and leading the disciples, he knew that that part of his mission was going to be done. So he's focused, he's intense, and he chooses, what does it look like to see Jesus stepped over to bend down to start to wash dirty, muddy feet? Well, when I've read this in the past, I've focused on that, I've thought about that, I've taught on that, about Jesus doing that, but there's a couple things I want to pull out, grab a couple phrases here and point them out to you. First off is this one, is that he took off his outer clothing. That's important. Jesus is wearing a robe, he's wearing a suit, coat, and tie, whatever he's wearing, whatever clothes he has on in that moment, there's something happening here when he physically removes that, sets it aside, and Scripture wants us to focus in on that. As I read through this, I obviously thought about one of the passages that, I think it was Matt that brought this up first time, and when we walked through the Advent time, Philippians chapter 2, Jesus, who had dwelt forever with God in the heavens, chose at one point, it says he did not consider equality with God something to be taken advantage of, but he made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant. He became human like us. walked in obedience. He literally took off his robe of holiness. He took off his robe of second person in the Godhead. He took off that robe and set it aside. It was on a hook up in the closet up in heaven. The day that he was conceived in his mother's womb, he wasn't wearing that cloak anymore. It sat up there in heaven. He took it off. And so when we read this passage in Scripture that he removed his outer clothing, he removed something. He removed his deity. He set it aside and he wrapped himself with that which represented you and me. What happened? When Mary bore him, she's out in the stable, our translation reads, and she goes and she gets the little onesie that she got at her baby shower and she puts it on Jesus. Is that what happened? Did someone go to Macy's and buy her an outfit to put on the baby? No. It tells us that Jesus, being born in a stable in some place with animals, that she wrapped him in what she had available, which was swaddling clothes, cloths. She wrapped him in dirty clothes. Jesus, from the time that he stepped on this earth, came to get dirty. And when we read this passage in Scripture that he took off his outer clothing and he wrapped himself in a towel, God wants us to understand that in his very coming to earth, he did that. He took off who he was and he put on something that represented you and me. And in this moment, it's as though in this last object lesson, we see him condensing all of history. And then it says this, not only did he wash their feet, he dried them. And if you get in your mind the picture of Jesus kneeling down, looking like this, ready to wash their feet, forget it. Because it says he took off his outer clothing. He set it aside. And what I want you to get, and this was critical, and this exploded in my heart as I was reading through this, is it says he dried the feet with the towel with which he was wrapped. And so if I could ask you to replace that picture in your mind and in your heart, what I want you to get is this understanding of Jesus wearing something very light. He's down to his skivvies. He's down to just a towel of some sort. I don't know exactly what that looked like, but there's a phrase in here that says, and he dried their feet with a towel with which he was wrapped. So I want you to have in your mind this kind of a picture that he's wearing the towel and drying their feet with that same towel. Not a different one that's over here in the pile. Do you ever go to the hospital and they have in the back room, they have laundries and closets full of towels and full of... No, Jesus did not have a supply of towels over there and get a nice, clean, fresh one with downy smell on it for each and every one of his apostles. Jesus dried, wiped off their feet. Whatever residue, whatever dirt was still on there between the toes and stuff that didn't exactly come off just by splashing the water on them, Jesus wiped that off with the towel that he was wearing. Mary, when she brought forth her son, she wrapped him in clothing. And it was so important that we remember that happened, that in the story, the telling of his coming, that it was repeated. Not only did she do it, but it became a sign for those that were looking for him. Look for the one that's wrapped in the dirty clothes. And so here again, in the end of Jesus' ministry, we find this Jesus literally pulling from those he's ministered to the dirt that's still on them, and not just washing it away and it going away, dumping it down the drain. He's now wearing their dirt. Do you get it? Do you see that has this clean, downy-smelling towel was dirty by the time he got done? The more he wiped their feet, the cleaner they got, but the dirtier he got. Scripture tells us that you and I, even our very best attempts to find a connection to God, to somehow restore relationship with the God of the universe, it tells us in Isaiah, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And I want you to understand that Jesus reenacting this living object lesson is literally showing us how he removed from us our unrighteousness, our filth, and pulled it down upon himself. The story continues in John chapter 13. It says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. We know that he did that after he rose from the dead. He put on his robe of righteousness and went back to the Father. Then he said, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and that's good, because I'm both of those things. I am your teacher, and I am your Lord. But if I, who am those things, I am your teacher and I'm your Lord, and since I have washed your feet, if I, who came from heaven, from the throne of God, am able to lower myself down, as Philippians said, that I set aside everything, my throne, my righteousness, my holiness, I took upon myself your veil of flesh. I took upon myself the role of a servant. I took upon myself all your sin, all your unholiness, all your illnesses. I wore it all the way to the fact that I even went below the lowest of lowest servants. Even the servants in that day did not like to be the one that was assigned to clean the visitors' feet. It was not a fun job. And it would normally fall to the lowest of the lowest of the servants. But Jesus pointed out to them, I who am your master, I who am your teacher, if I can do this, and I have. It wasn't an if, like, well, gee, I wonder if I could. He said this after he had already done it. He said, now that I've done this for you, I give you an example. I tell you, this is how you need to interact with each other. You need to come to the place where you are also willing to set aside who you are. Set aside your roles. Set aside your titles. Set aside your expectations, your desires, your wants. I'm telling you that just as I have done that, that you too must do it. You have to. You have to walk out. Walk in my example. And it was so important that Jesus wanted this to be the last thing burning in their mind as he went to the cross. Verily, I tell you that if no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If we somehow lifted ourselves and said, I'm not going to do that. Jesus is saying you're actually disconnecting yourself from me as your Lord and your master. You're saying, no, I will not follow him. I will not submit myself into that teaching. And so we're separating ourselves off from him rather than submitting to him as our Lord and as our teacher. Now, I want to pull this back together and drive it home to where do we live? How does this apply to our life today? Colossians chapter 3, one of my favorite passages of scripture, begins with this. It says, if then, or since then, depending on your translation, since you have been raised with Jesus, raised with Christ. It's telling us that if we have an identification with Jesus Christ at all, and hopefully we all do, since then, if then you have that, then there's a responsibility that falls upon you. That you have to change the way that you think. Stop looking at life from a natural perspective. Stop looking at your circumstances, the people around you, from a natural perspective. And start looking at life, start looking at people, start looking at circumstances from the perspective of God. Start to identify people, opportunities, look at life through the lens of Jesus Christ. Over and over, it paints a picture for us what it looks like to walk through life with the perspective of God. It tells us that there are things that we're supposed to take off. And it lists out for us the old man. It lists out for us the old perspective. Take these things off and instead put on the lifestyle, the fruit of God. There is a call on your life and mine to be intentional. Willingly understanding what God has called us to do as Christians, as followers of God, as members of his family. He says you must adopt pulling yourself the mindset of God, and the way that you do this is you willingly, intentionally choose to set aside the old attributes of life, the old approaches to how we do life, and put on the thoughts, the responses, the fruit that comes from a relationship with Christ Jesus. Anybody know that there's a difference between these two guys? What's the difference? Okay, height. Is there more than that? Is there something else different?
One has a little bit better weaponry.
Okay. This guy is dressed up pretend. He looks the part. Is he a soldier? There's a reality to become something, to become an official, whatever it is. There's more than just putting on the outside appearance. There's more than just putting on the uniform. There's more than just putting on the clothes. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that has to go along with it. So this guy might dress up this way for Halloween, but it's just pretend. This guy, on the other hand, probably has gone through basic training. He's probably gone through multiple levels of training. And he's gotten to the place, because of his willing submission to the requirements of the military, having gone through their training, having willingly received commission or whatever it is that he, whatever rank he may have, willingly receiving to himself whatever the assignment is, the mission, because of his submission, because of his willingness to submit to each and every one of those things, and still abiding in a place of submission to his authorities, not only does he have the opportunity to say, hey, I'm part of them, it's a reciprocal thing. The military will identify him also as being one of us. If this guy called up some general and said, hey, can I come up to your office and talk to you? It better be his dad, because otherwise he's not getting in. But the idea here is that to be the real thing takes more than just putting on the outside. There's the whole level of willing submission or obedience, walking out the commands, the orders, the requirements of the role, if you expect the reciprocal relationship. And one of those phrases that you often hear when they give you a diploma, you, not only do you get the diploma, not only do you get the uniform, but you get all the rights and privileges thereof. Same thing here. When we as Christians go beyond just putting on just the uniform, putting the bumper sticker on our car, wearing the necklace around that has a little cross on it, when we willingly submit and enter into all the things that God has commanded us through Christ Jesus, walk them out daily, then it's a reciprocal relationship. Then not only can we say that we're one with him, then he promises that he will not reject us, that he will identify us as one of his before the Father. You and I have to get to the place where it's no longer about who you and I are in the natural, not about our own perspectives, not about our own pursuits, but where we adopt for ourselves the goal that in our lives, that when the world and the church and brothers and sisters look upon us, it's no longer just us that they see, but through our lives, they get a view of God himself, the heart of God, the love of God, the tenderness of God, the forgiveness of God, that the world and the church itself lives that out in such a place that, as Colossians also says, that literally our lives, our own pursuits, our own wants, are no longer the thing that's seen. It's Jesus Christ that's front and center in all that we do. He's the one that's seen. Jesus said, I set an example that you should do as I have done for you. When Jesus knelt down, he washed their feet. I said earlier that as he ministered to them, he got dirty. The dirt of their life got upon them. If we're to walk as Jesus walked, somehow we have to get to the place where we're willing to enter into the lives of the people around us. For us, wiping the feet, ministering to the needs of a person around us, we should get dirty. We should see what their need is and minister to it. And it might be that we get dirty because we baked them a cake to help them through a time of grieving, or we've helped them fix a car, or maybe fix a pipe in their house. Maybe we take care of their baby, or we've gone down to the nursery, we got baby poop on us. The reality is that when we touch life on life, when we're entering into the place where we're following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, then truly it should be, if our lives are impacting others the way Jesus did, then our lives should get dirty from the interaction. Somehow we should carry with us some result of having impacted their lives, of touched them in a way that made a difference, that brought help, that brought refreshment, that brought wholeness, that brought truth. Somehow, if we're to enter in and live out this example of Jesus washing feet, we no longer have to get down literally and wash the dirt off their feet. But we wash them by ministering to them from the word itself. The scripture says that we can be washed by the word of God. We can wash each other by speaking the word of God to each other, by ministering that. But to be able to do that, you got to get close enough to do it. And so my encouragement to you in life is to find a way to wash the feet of someone near you. Get connected with people around you. Interact with their lives. Get dirty. Jesus did it. And remember, he wiped their feet with the towel that he wore. What towel do you wear? What role has he asked you to fill in life? You know, every one of us falls into a lot of different roles. You can be a mom, you can be a dad, you can be a teacher, a plumber, you can be a military guy, you can wear a suit during the day, you can wear blue-collar clothing. Whatever the role is, we all have many, many different roles, do we not? We do. The reality, though, is that in the midst of all these things, each one of the roles that he gives us is kind of like a towel. We've wrapped ourselves in some kind of a covering that identifies with the people around us. While we may all wear something different on the outside, the uniform, the thing that's supposed to be conveyed, is that we have identified with Jesus Christ by willingly receiving upon ourselves what I'll call the mud, the dirt of our brothers and sisters and our friends and our neighbors. And one of the things I want to remind you is the thing that's neat about this is it doesn't matter how big you are, how tall, how wide. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how much intellect you have. It doesn't matter where you live. The reality is that you and I, we all have an opportunity in some way to touch another person's life, to get their dirt upon us. Question is, are you doing it? Question I'd have to ask you is, what are you doing for love? Are you willing to set aside who you think you are, the roles that you've assumed for yourself, or even the ones that God's given you? Are you willing to set those aside and enter into the life situation of people around you to take upon yourself their burden, their needs, what it is that they need? In the scriptures, the words or the phrase one another shows up 100 times in the New Testament in 94 different places. 47 of those give instructions to Jesus' followers directly. Do this to one another. Hundreds of places in the scripture where it tells us how we should interact one with another. What it looks like to carry each other's burdens, to interact with each other, to wash each other's feet. Are you living this out is the question we have to answer. John chapter 13, continuing, as he's ministering, he comes to Simon Peter. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus said, you don't understand it all right now what I'm doing, but later you will. And Peter, was it pride? I'm not quite sure. Looks like to me it might have been. But Peter's like, no way. You're not going to wash my feet. Let John do it. And let somebody else do it, but not you. In one sense, it sounds righteous. It sounds as though he's defending Jesus, or maybe he's defending himself. He doesn't want Jesus. He wants someone else to wash his feet. But Jesus, who's already on his knees, kneeling in front of him, has already submitted. He's already taken off his clothes. He's already come down to his level. So Jesus says, you know what, Simon, if you've heard my word, if anyone hears my words, they've already cleaned, they're already washed, if they've responded. But going through life day by day, you know, you get dirty. You know, you may wake up in the morning, oh, had a wonderful service yesterday, and you're worshiping God, loving God. You step out in the world, and suddenly someone cuts you off. And first thing, life is messy. And we get dirty going through life. And we minister to each other by helping remove that dirt, helping lift off that burden, help restore our brothers and sisters. Then Simon said, don't just wash just my feet, but wash all of me. Jesus said, I've already washed you all over, but your feet get dirty by going through life. And you and I have the privilege of helping our brothers and sisters just get through life, get through the circumstances they're facing today. We get to add our strength and pull off some of the dirt and help walk them through the circumstances they're facing. Question I asked at the beginning, who here wants to be blessed? I think we all said that we wanted to. Jesus gave us the answer. He says in the bottom of the scripture, now you know these things, okay? Now you all know these things. Jesus said, you will be blessed if you do them.